Good morning. It is so good to be here in God's house and to be with you all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 35 through 43. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you if you would to stand, if you're able to stand, as I read from God's Word. Luke 18, 35 through 43. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we ask you, Lord, to open our blind eyes. Because, Father, some of our eyes have been covered by other things, and we're not seeing you like we need to. We're not having the kind of fellowship with you like we should. And, Father, today we cry out to you, Lord, have mercy on us, your people, dear God. Straighten up our hearts and our lives. Turn us in the direction that we should go. And Father, let us follow your Son Jesus with a glad heart. And now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own thoughts or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So you probably guessed today's message is, Lord, have mercy on me. You probably remember on Hee Haw many years ago, they would sing Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me. And that's what I hear a lot of Christians proclaiming today. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, when I think we ought to be hearing people calling out to the Lord in this day and age and saying, Father, upon my life, have mercy on me. I need you to come and have fellowship with me. I need you to lighten the burden that I've been carrying. Well, we shouldn't be carrying burdens around, because what are we supposed to do daily? We're supposed to give all of our burdens to the Lord, because the Bible says that He what? He cares for us. He knows our burdens. And you know what He wants to do? He wants you to be free, and He wants you to be lightened. Now, what we're reading here in the Scripture today was blind Bartimaeus, blind from the time of birth, sitting there at the side of the road. He can't see a thing, but boy, his ears sure worked good. And when he started asking folks, hey, what's going on? What is taking place around me? Then somebody started telling him that Jesus was nearby. And I guarantee you that good old Bartimaeus had heard everything about Jesus, and he knew who the Son of God was. And the Bible says that he started to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because see, He was tired of being blind. He wanted to be able to see the things around him. And the people were getting upset. See, isn't it funny that when Jesus would go somewhere to minister and somebody was in need, isn't it funny how there were supposed to be righteous people around him? And they were the ones pushing back, telling people, oh, be quiet. When the little children wanted to be close to Jesus, and the people were telling, you know, get the kids away from Jesus. He doesn't want to be bothered. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Let the children. See, Jesus wanted people to be a part of him. Jesus came here to love, to heal, to serve, and to have fellowship with his creation. Now, such as that case was, and it is today, we need Jesus to deal with people. There are people who are blinded by sinful lives. They got saved. They've walked with the Lord. But somewhere along the way, people have gotten blinded. And there are people who are lost. There are so many folks out there that maybe have never heard of Jesus because they've never been to church. They were raised in a non-Christian home. But there are people who have blinded eyes, and I also want to say this too, have a blinded heart. They've darkened their hearts to the presence of the Lord in their life. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe something has happened in your life. Maybe something has happened in the life of a family member or a friend or somebody you go to church with, and maybe you really don't understand the depth of what it is that they're going through, but you know that the Lord has been wanting to reach out to these people. And who better to get to these people, to take Jesus to them, but us, his children, the ones who are living for the Lord, the ones who are in right fellowship and in right standing. We have got to be the ones to take the light of the gospel message and tell people who Jesus is. Because I guarantee you, the moment that you speak the name of Jesus, there is power in his name. You don't have to stand there and shout and scream it. All you have to do is calmly say the name Jesus, and there's so much power in that name that the demons will flee and they tremble and they don't stay around. Because at the name of Jesus, there is glory, there is worship, there is praise. And when we say the name Jesus, he hears that we are calling out to him and he answers us how? Quickly and swiftly. Back quite a few years ago, there's a man who was in the hospital. Does anybody remember the old Marion Memorial Hospital on West Main Street in Marion? Yeah, it used where the hub sits now. Well, I got called there one morning on a chaplain's call, or one afternoon on a chaplain's call. And there's a gentleman in there. He'd been to church and got into drugs. And his life took a whole different course. And when I got in there, they said he has taken a certain pill. They call it speed. And they said, this man has taken too much of it, and he's in there having a mental episode, and somebody from the family wanted a preacher here. So we called you. Is there anything that you could do? Well, there wasn't nothing that I could do in that situation, but there was one that we could call upon that I knew who could take over the situation. And this is true fact what happened. They had this man They had him strapped down, secured to the bed with restraints on his arms, and had him restrained. But he had enough strength. He sat up in the bed, and when I went in there, he was going like this in the bed. And they told me his name, and I won't say his name because of HIPAA and all that. But anyway, he said, "Well, I'm in a canoe and I'm rowing. I'm rowing down the creek. I got to hurry up and get down there." He said, "It's flooding and it's a disaster." Well, when I went in there, I said his name to him again. I said, "I want to ask you a question. Do you know who Jesus Christ is?" This is exactly what happened. What, as Wendy Bagwell would say, the fact what I'm telling you, my hand up. That man stopped what he was doing, and he sat there in the middle of that bed, and he looked right at me, and just a peace came over that room, and that man looked at me and said, "Yes, at one time I got saved." That is the power of God. When the name of Jesus was spoken, the darkness fled, and the blindness of his heart had been lifted, and I had the opportunity to minister for a time and share with him. And after a few minutes, I just felt the Lord say, "Enough said." And so as I turned away, I was talking to a nurse. You know what he did? He turned right back around, kicked them legs, and he started rowing again. Now, that's the power of the Lord. Now, I don't know what happened to that man after that, but I'm telling you, when the name of Jesus is spoken, things will happen. We as Christian people, we have to recognize that Jesus is always near. We are surrounded by commotion and noise in this world, and we always have to be aware that Jesus is near. Jesus said he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. How many of you remember your parents telling you, "Don't do something because they're saying I'm watching you and I know exactly what you're up to"? Well, I know I better heed that warning. My father used to say, and when my dad said, "Don't do something, I'm near and I know what you're doing," he meant it. And I knew it. So I knew that my conduct had better be right. I knew that my heart better be in the right place, or I was going to get my rear end adjusted to get my heart back in the right place. And in the same way, Jesus wants us to know that He is always near. He is always here. And I want to say this, when you find yourself in a troubled spot in life, where you've just let a lot overcome you, where you've let things mount up, and you haven't prayed for a while, and you feel like that nobody else is going through what you're experiencing, I want you to know this. All you have to do is call out the name of Jesus, go to Him in prayer, and you don't have to scream and scream and scream it out. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I need you. I'm broken. I'm whatever it is that you're feeling." And I want you to know that Jesus will be right there to comfort you, to guide you, to strengthen you, and to lift you up. And you know what? I always like that poem, Footprints in the Sand. I can't quote it to you. I don't know the whole thing by memory like I used to years ago when I was a kid. But this I do know, there's the one part when the man became troubled and he said, "Lord, but I'm only seeing one set of footprints." And Jesus said, "That's when I had to carry you." And it's okay for Jesus to have to carry us sometimes. But we shouldn't expect Jesus to carry us all the time. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He rose from the dead. That's why last Sunday I preached on the Holy Spirit being sent, that you would have power, that you would not have to lean on yourself, but you've got the Holy Spirit of the Lord God to guide you day in and day out. We always have to recognize the need for Jesus. We have to come to the place where we realize that we need help beyond ourselves or any other person in this world. We need the power of God. I drive around, see these houses set up, and they'll have a sign out front that says psychic. And I laugh. They don't know nothing. They're operating in demonic realms is what they're doing. They're operating in evil spirits. That's all it is. They don't know nothing. But the one who created you knows your life from the beginning to the very end. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Now, how amazing is that? Billy, could you imagine that? He knew you before you were born. He knew that you would be sitting here today. And Milton, the Lord knew that you would be working for the railroad one day. He knew that. That's amazing about God. That's what I love about the Lord. He knew that this church would sit right here on this hillside. And God wants us to always listen to His voice. God wants us to know that He has given us power through His Son Jesus. And I'm telling you what, if you will take a hold of that power and if you will live it, if you will speak it, if you will believe it, your life will be changed. Your heart will no longer be blinded. Your heart, your spiritual eyes will be opened to the things of God. And I believe daily, every day, that we need to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. Now, mercy versus grace. Mercy and grace are closely related. While the terms have similar meanings, grace and mercy are not the same. And I've wrote these down here. Mercy has to do with kindness and compassion. It is often spoken of in the context of God's not punishing us as our sins deserve. Now here's grace. It includes kindness and compassion, but also carries the idea of bestowing a gift or God's favor. See, mercy and grace are extended to us daily. If Jesus hadn't died on that cross and rose from the dead, we'd be in a sorry situation right now. We would have to try to figure out a way to face the Lord for our sins. But Jesus did that. Now, when I preached about Stephen being stoned, and Stephen had looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. And I believe that the Lord Jesus stands as our intercessor when we're praying, even when we're doing wrong. And I believe this. I believe that Jesus is saying, Father, please have mercy and grace upon them because they don't know what they're doing right now. I really do. Because Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them for them. And they had treated Him horribly. They had spat on Him and beat Him, persecuted Him, accused Him, made Him, tried to make Him look like a liar. And they berated Him. And He still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that's what Jesus is doing for a lot of us today. And lastly, Jesus hears those who call on His name. Now, as I said, When the shepherd calls his sheep, I want to. This is a true thing that happened. They did a study, and they had this shepherd and his sheep, and they told the shepherd, "We want you." This shepherd had raised these sheep for a long time, fed them, loved them, took care of them, all that, made sure the coyotes stayed away from them. Well, they took him aside, and they took somebody completely different and took him out there to his sheep, and that person stood there and started calling out to those sheep, and not a single one of those sheep responded to that person calling out to them because they didn't know the voice. And then they took that person away. They brought the shepherd back out there. And the shepherd started calling out to his sheep like he normally would. And here they come. They come running. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. When Jesus calls our name, when he speaks to our heart, we know his voice. And we should take off running to him. Because in his presence, there's life. There's joy in abundance. I don't know why we would want to live any other way. A lot of people live like Jesus is still in the grave. A lot of people live like Jesus never existed. They act like things are just going to go how they are for eternity. And they act like there's no hope. Even Christians, I see Christian people living this way. They won't come to the Lord because a lot of the time they feel so much guilt and shame, they feel like if they come to the Lord and call out, he won't answer them. But what is Jesus saying to us? All we have to do is come to him and he will meet us right where we are. And get this now. When Jesus is distant from us, it's not because he got up and walked away. He didn't leave us. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So who walks away from the Lord? Right here. I can't point my finger at Mike or Terry or Laura or Sarah. I can't point my finger at y'all and say, well, no. I'm the one who walked away. And there's been times in my life that I did. I got so down over things because I hadn't really put the faith that I needed to live for the Lord. And I'd get down and I wouldn't go to God in prayer. You know what? I'd hold on to the weight that I had. And the devil would tell me, there's no way you could be forgiven. Look what you just did. Or do you remember what you said or how you acted? Or do you remember your past? And then those things would grow inside of me. And before long, I couldn't see the light of the Lord. I couldn't see the goodness of God. And finally, when I had to reach that place of terror, just like Bartimaeus, I would yell out, cry to the Lord. I would be on my face in tears. Father, I have done wrong again. And you know what? Every day when I pray and ask the Lord for forgiveness, I've caught myself saying, God, I don't understand your love, but how could you love me so much? How could you continue to have mercy and grace on me when I fail? How could you continue to bless me? And then it's when I realize this human brain of mine will never, ever be able to understand the things of God. Now, when I get out of this physical earthly body and I get to heaven, I believe I'll understand a lot more. How about you? But we have to call on his name daily. We have to seek him. The Lord will reward those who diligently seek him. And that means your whole heart. That doesn't mean that you give God 10% of your heart and you take the other 90% of your heart. God wants all or none. God God doesn't sit at a bargaining table. You can't, you know, you go to a buffet, you pick and choose what you want to eat, don't you? Well, serving the Lord's not a buffet. You can't pick and choose what you want. Well, I don't like that. I'll leave it. I don't want to have to be a missionary. I won't touch that part of the buffet. But give me the comforts of my home that I could read my Bible and pray. I'll go for that. That's like me going to a buffet and getting mashed potatoes and gravy. Man, I like those, but I ain't touching those sweet potatoes over there. I don't like sweet potatoes. And that's how we treat the Lord. I don't want this part of the relationship, Lord, but here's what I would like. It don't work that way. Jesus said, you get rid of everything and you come and follow me. What did Bartimaeus do? As soon as his sight was restored and he got up, he followed Jesus. He didn't say, well, I have to go home and run the vacuum cleaner, or I need to dust, or I need to make sure things are in order. He wasn't worried about the things of this world. Bartimaeus got up and followed Jesus. Now, I don't know what happened with Bartimaeus' life from here on down the road. But I can tell you this, he had his eyes opened up, and I guarantee you that he stayed right by the Lord and he served him all the way till his dying day. And that's all he's asking of us. Because faith in Jesus makes you whole. Just like blind Bartimaeus was made whole, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." Your faith, if you show faith in the Lord, Jesus will say to you, your faith has made you whole, or it's made you well. You're taken care of. But you have to believe that. Do you know how many people will either read the Word or they'll hear it and they don't believe it? Now, I'm not going to preach something to you a certain way and do it falsely. What I'm preaching to you out of this Word and things that I've encountered, that's truth. And if you don't, you know, I've always said this, if people don't believe it, I can't help it. That's their heart. They have to deal with the Lord on it. But I know the things I've seen in 36, 37 years of ministry. I know what I've seen. I know what I've experienced. And I know it's real. But we have to get our religious blinded eyes open. Because I'll tell you, that's a big problem we have in this day and age right now, is people in churches are blinded by religion when they need a relationship with Jesus. People are too busy saying, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm an apostolic, or I'm Methodist, or I'm this, or I'm that. That's not what your life is based on. Your life is not based on what your religion stands for. Your life is based on faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is a relationship. And it's the only relationship you need to worry about. It's the only relationship that you need to be walking in. It's the only relationship that will get you through this life. And we need to be receiving what the Lord gives us and say, Father, you have made me well and whole. I am saved. I am victorious. I am what I am because of who you are. That's what the Lord is wanting us to live. So I'll say this, and I'm not afraid to say things that I believe the Lord wants us to hear. I say this, if you're living behind a religious thing, it's time to get out of it. Get out from behind it. And don't tell people about your religion, tell people about your Jesus. Because see, when you get to heaven, you're not going to walk through the pearly gates. You know, Effie, when you get there, when I get there, St. Peter is not going to take us by the hand and say, well, here's your door for the American Baptist. And he's not going to take other people by the hand and say, well, you come over here, Pentecostals or Episcopalians or whatever, Free Will Baptist. That's not how it is. When you get to heaven, you're a child of God, saved, bought by the blood of Jesus, and you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord, into His kingdom created for you, and every single person from every church that served Him will be there together. There is no divisions in heaven, there is no religions in heaven, and there shouldn't be none like that here on the face of this earth, really. This is what it's about. You and I are Christian people. And you know what? When we really give it to the Lord and we let Jesus make us well, I believe that we'll start to see things a whole lot better. How about what do you think? I believe that.